version of the Yeshua. We should have our own, we should be able to celebrate our own Purim this year in a very real way, in a very comprehensive way. We're noting that Elisheva, who remarkably enough, I think is on, Elisheva Mishulavin's daughter got married yesterday. Her daughter Nechama got married to Yisrael Rifkin. Masel Tov should be a binyan adiyat. All the Rebbe's bracha should be mekuyim b'milum shleimusim. Lisa Kravetsky's daughter Chaimushka is becoming a bas mitzvah in Yud Aleph Adar. And Rachi Shem Tov is marking going into her 40th year of shlichus. Mazel tov to everyone. We're learning in the schus of a refuah shleima for Miriam Liba Bas Chana. We should have a refuah shleima kreva and a refuah shleima kreva for her Rabbi Yaakov Tuvia ben Chava Gittel. We're learning the Sikha on Purim from Chelek Chaf Aleph. Seif Aleph. Issa b'Gemara. I'm sorry, Issa b'Medrash. The Medrash relates, B'sha shenechtemu eisen ha'igres v'nasnu b'yad Haman, when the letters were signed and given to Haman, so he and his whole posse, his group, his entourage, were very, very joyous. And they met Mordechai, who was walking in front of them. And at the same time, Mordechai saw three young children that were coming from school. Ve'ratz Mordechai achareihem, and Mordechai ran after them. U'kasherah Haman b'chol chaburasei shehayah ratz Mordechai acharei ha'tinokes, and when Mordechai and his group saw that Mordechai, what I'm sorry, when Haman and his group saw that Mordechai was running after these young children, holchu acharei Mordechai l'das ma yishal Mordechai mehem. They were curious. Their curiosity was aroused, and they followed Mordechai to see what is he going to do with these young children. Kevan shegia Mordechai etzel hatinoikos. When Mordechai caught up with these young children, shala echad mehem. He asked one of them, "Soikli psukecha. Tell me what you learned. Tell me a pasuk that you have ready in your mouth to tell me." Omar loy. So the young child said to Mordechai, "Al tira mipachad pisaim, do not fear a sudden terror, umishayas rishayim kisavai, and don't fear the destruction of the wicked when it comes." That's what the first child said to Mordechai. Pasach hasheni, the second child said to him, "Va'amar pasach hasheni va'amar." The second child said, "Ani karisi hayoyim, I was learning sukkim today. Upazah pasuk amadati mibeis ha-sefer." And this is the last pasuk that that we learned today in school. And what's that pasuk? Utsu eitzah v'sufar. There will be those that will devise a plan, but it will be undone. It will be foiled. Dabru davar v'lo yakum. They will speak words, but it will not stand. Why? Ki manu kel, because Hashem is with us. Pasach hashlishi, the third child said. Pasach hashlishi va'amar, the third child said, "Va'zikna anihu." This is Hashem speaking this pasuk. Until your old age, I am him. I am unchanged. Batseva ani esbo, and until your elderly years, I will carry you. Ani asisi, I made you. Ani esa, and I will carry you. Vani esbol va'amalit, and I will carry you and deliver you from any harm. Those are the three psukim that the children shared with Mordechai. Kevan sheshama Mordechai kach. When Mordechai heard these psukim from the mouths of the children, sachak v'hayasameach simcha gedola. He was extremely happy. He rejoiced tremendously. Amar le Haman. So remember, Haman is watching Mordechai and what he's doing with the children. So Haman said to him, "Ma hizois hasimcha, what are you so overjoyed about? What is this that you heard from these children that made you rejoice?" Amar. So Mordechai said to Haman, "Al psuris shebisruni. I am rejoicing because of the good news, the good tidings that they shared with me. Shelo efchad min ha'etzah hara sheya'atzta aleinu. And from this I learned that I should not be afraid of the terrible plan that you have devised upon us. Miyad kas Haman harasha. Immediately when Haman heard Mordechai's reply, he became very incensed. Va'amar, and he said, Eina nishaleach yatchila ela be'elu hatinekes. You know what? It is these young children that I am going to destroy first. V'hinei hatam l'simchas Mordechai b'shamay p'sukim elu m'pi hatinekes hu. What's the reason that Mordechai was so overjoyed when he heard these psukim from the mouths of these children? V'pashtos, simply, the answer to that question is Haman. Simply speaking, because he understood these children to have given him a form of prophecy that he should not fear the edict of Haman. The Rebbe says that we find in a number of places in the Gemara, in Yenzeh, a similar thing that somebody says, tell me a pasuk. Shamir is pasuk misuyim al yidei yinuka, that when a certain pasuk is cited by a young child, he ke'en nivua. It is considered as some sort of prophecy. And so forth, as said above. In other words, just like Mordechai saw in the reply of the children to him, some kind of nevuah. This is not the only place where we find that in the Gemara. Avalachaira, but seemingly the Rebbe says, "Ein zeh maspik benidun didan." This doesn't seem to be enough in this case. Dalpiza, because in accordance with what we said, that it was some form of nevuah that Mordechai is so elated about. If in fact this would be the essential content of this story, so why is this related to us in such an elongated fashion? That he met them when they were coming from school, and that it was exactly three children who said three different psukim, and so on and so forth. Va'afal pisha shar prati ha'maisa, and although there are other details of the story, kigoyin zeh she'Mordechai pagash ha'tinokes b'darkei, v'lo she'halak l'chapes achareihem. There are details of the story that seem to be very seminal. For instance, that Mordechai met these children. It wasn't that he went to seek them, but literally Hashem sent them into his path. And the fact that these psukim that gave Mordechai so much good news were recited by more than one child. So these are details of the story that seem to strengthen. Rebbe says, they underscore and they strengthen the lesson and the prophecy that was conveyed. But the fact that they were coming from school, the fact that he met three and not two and not five, doesn't seem to be so important to the central idea. And yet, this is related to us. And as we know already, the Rebbe pines and taught us over and over and over that every single detail is exquisitely important. Beis. And now the Rebbe is going to ask additional questions. Kol inyanim shebetorah hi betachlis hadiyuk. Everything in Torah is perfect. Bahainu. This means shagam haseder uprate haloshoynes b'maisazeh miduyakim heim v'noigim l'teichin ha'inyan. And so it means that the order and the details of the verbiage that is used in the Medrash relating the story are precise, and they are very important to understanding the essential story here. And the Rebbe asks three questions. But Tzarech Lahavin, we have to understand. Aleph, first question is, Seder Amiras Gimel HaPsukim Al Yedei HaTinoikos. First, we have to look at the order in which these psukim were cited by the children. First Al Tira, then Utsu Eitza, and then Vi'at Zikna. Now, to us, of course, this order seems just fine, extremely intuitive. We're very, very familiar with it. But the Rebbe says, Einoi Kesidram Binach. But this is not the way the psukim appear in the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. The psukim Utsu Eitza and Va'ad Zikna, the Mekorim B'Sefer Yishayo, HaKoidim B'Seder HaSfarim L'Mishle Shehu Mokar HaPasuk Al Tira. What's problematic? Two things. Number one, that Utsu Eitza and Atzikna come from Yeshayahu. And of course, the Nevi'im come before the Ksuvim in Tanakh. And Mishle, which is part of Ksuvim, is the source of the Pasuk Al Tira. Ube Pashtos, and the Rebbe says in parentheses, simply speaking, Seder Limudim Shel HaTinoikos is Bevei Sefer Hu Kefi Seder HaSfarim, that one would have to assume that the way that these svarim are taught to children is in accordance with the Seder. So first children learn Chumash, they learn Torah, then they start to learn Nevi'im, and then later they learn Ksuvim. So that's question number one. And then a second subsidiary question here is, V'gam ein zeh b'seder min ha'mu'char el ha'mukdam. And even in the psukim themselves, besides that the sources are inverted, but the psukim themselves, the im kein, if they were in the order as they are presented in Tanakh, v'yeh lehem lahaktim es ha'pasuk ha'mu'char b'yishayo v'ad zikna, lefnei ha'pasuk utzu'etza. Then if they were being presented in chronological order as they appear in Nevi'im, first we would have Va'ad Zikna, then we would have Utsu Eitza. So that's the first question. Base, the second question on the details of the story is, Eidais Hatina Karisha Mesupar B'medra She'amar Es Pesukei Miyad L'Lei Kol Akdama. Regarding the first child, the Medrash tells us that when Mordechai said, Soikli Pesukecha, he immediately said this pasuk, with no preamble, with no introduction. Masha Enkein Hatina Kasheni. But this is a contradistinction to the second child, because the Medrash says, Pasach Hasheni V'Amar, the second one began and said, Ani Karisi Hayoim, I was studying Psukim today, U'Bezeh Pasuk Amarati Mibes HaSefer. And it was with this pasuk that I'm going to tell you that we finished off in school today. Hainu, meaning, Sheba'esa hayom lamad psukim neisafim. Ela sheba pasuk hazeh siyem es limudai. Meaning that he learned other psukim that day, but this was the pasuk that stood out for him. This was the pasuk with which they ended learning that day. Ve'inu muvan. V'chiatinu karishon lamad ba'esa yom rakas ha-pasuk al-tira v'tulai. So that means that the first child only learned one pasuk, al tira mipachat pisim, that's all. And the third question, where the Rebbe is parsing the text even more carefully, Rebbe says, Kevon shamardachai kibelas advarim b'tor nevua, if we are understanding the story, so that we understand that what came out of the mouths of the children was a nevua, Lama nakata lashon al besureis teiva shebesruni v'loi shenibuli teiva kriyetsa b'zeh. So why does the Medrash, when relating the story to us, tell us that Mordechai said to Haman that he is elated over the good news, the good tidings that he got, rather than using the terminology, I am elated over the prophecy that was conveyed to me, the wonderful, good, positive prophecy that was conveyed to me. That was Siv Beis. Those were the three questions. In Siv Gimel, the Rebbe asks a kind of an overarching question on the whole arc of the Megillah, of the whole story. Rebbe says, "Oy derish bir, you also have to understand. Lefi ha-mesupar b'medrash. In accordance with what the Medrash teaches us, haya ha-me'ura hanal hikab la'achrei shenechtemu igres ha-gzeira. This incident happened immediately after the letters with the terrible edict against the Jews were signed. Ukfar az sameach Mordechai simcha g'dayla min ha-psura teiva. And the Medrash tells us that Mordechai was overjoyed. He was rejoicing. He was elated on the good news that he got from these children. And why? Because he now understood that they don't have to fear the terrible machinations of Haman. V'im kein. So if this is so, basically Mordechai is all good to go. Nobody has to worry. So why does the Megillah go on to give us the whole story? And not just a story, but with great drama and great trepidation and so on and so forth. The Megillah says, by Yilbash Sakva Efer, Mordechai donned sackcloth and ashes, by Yizak Zaka Gedoyla, and he cried a loud and bitter cry or scream. And all of the details of what Mordechai did and what he asked Esther to do and so on and so forth. Because when you read the rest of the Megillah, the rest of what we're going to be reading in a few days, from all this it's understood, it becomes very clear that Mordechai didn't accept what the children said, mamash, literally, practically, as a prophecy, the imkain. So if it wasn't a prophecy, so on the other hand, why was he so excited? What was he so elated about? In other words, if it's all set and he doesn't have to worry at all, then why do we get the rest of the story? It seems that Mordechai is very worried. And if he's not, and if he is worried, then what is he so happy about when he meets the children?
Like after that, Sakani, yeah. I mean, afterwards, I'm saying it was after he met the children is when he put on a sack of Afer. It was during the morning.
Exactly. Right. So in other words, Rebbe says either way, something we need to understand what's happening here. Either the story is over, he doesn't have to fear anymore, he should go home and be calm because everything's going to be fine. Look how happy he was. But if he was so happy, then what happened afterwards? It seems it wasn't such a clear-cut nevuah. So the Rebbe explains in Dalet, the Rebbe says, Nukudas habir bazer. So the main point of understanding this, ubahakdim, and let's preface, tagzera hayso lahashmid laharay v'la'abed is kol hayehudim minar v'azokin taf v'noshim. First, let's be very clear that the edict was to destroy, to kill, to completely annihilate all of the Jews, young and old, children and women. V'siba hagzera hi. And the Rebbe now is going to give us two reasons for this edict. Aleph kim super b'megillah. First, we're going to look at the story that we get in the Megillah. And then, based al pi midrashi chazal. And then, on a different level, based on the midrash. B'megillah misupar, shereshis hadavar hoya bekach. Going to the Megillah, this whole edict begins with the fact all of the other servants of the king, all of the other people surrounding the palace, they all bow and they prostrate themselves to Haman. Mordechai lo yichra b'lo yishtachar. And Mordechai will not bend, he will not prostrate himself. Vayimole Haman kema. And simply speaking, Haman is filled with wrath that Mordechai is not bending and prostrating himself to him. He's overcome with anger. But it was humiliating for Haman to just strike Mordechai alone. Because he was told, because it became clear to him who Mordechai was, who his people are. But this is not a unilateral action only on his part, but he's doing it because of who he belongs to and who he represents. And therefore, and therefore, Haman sought to completely eradicate all of the Jews who were the nation of Mordechai. Vahainu. The Rebbe says this means, Shekasher Haman chokar v'dorash madua ein Mordechai kireo mishtacha v'loi. When Haman looked into the situation and to understand why Mordechai would not bow to him, and it became clear to him that Mordechai's refusal to bow was not just because of his individual characteristics, that he was Sanhedrin, that he was from the leaders of the Sanhedrin, Umanahigam Shel Yisrael. And not only that, but he was the leader of the Jews. But it became clear to Haman that these were not the only reasons that Mordecai was not the main reason that Mordecai was not bowing to him. Meaning, this wasn't something specific to Mordecai. Elahigiduloi is am Mordecai. But when he started to investigate what's going on here, they told him, "You don't know who Mordecai is. You don't know his people. Asher hu Yehudi, found out that he's a Jew. I knew Yehudi hare hu maimin rak b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because he's a Jew, he believes only in the Borei Olam, only in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'chofer b'chol avodah zarah, and he completely repudiates any idol worship. V'chol davar shemachzik atzmo l'metzius. In fact, what is avodah zarah? Anything that understands itself to be an independent existence from God, chas v'shalom. And that oyer hadavar b'haman kas gadol b'yimalei haman chin. And that aroused in Haman a terrible wrath. He was filled with anger. And once we understand that the reason why Mordechai wouldn't bow and he wouldn't prostrate himself is because he was a Jew, therefore, it was humiliating. It was distasteful to Haman to just strike against Mordechai. Because he realized that this is a systemic problem. That the reason why Mordechai is not bowing and not prostrating himself is because of the Pintele Yid, the Nekuda Hayados, the spark that is found in every Jew. In other words, that he's dealing with a pandemic. He's not just dealing with one person who has a terrible infection. It's minar v'adzokein, taf v'noshim. It's everybody. It's all of them. It's the young and the old and the women and the children. V'imkein, nimtza sh'loi rak Mordechai ki'im kol am Mordechai eina maki b'mitziyosei. So then it's understood to him that's not just Mordechai, but it's the whole nation of Mordechai that does not at all recognize his existence. Period. Exclamation point. Upshita she'ena karei mishtacha v'loi. And so it's simple that they're not going to bow, they're not going to prostrate themselves to him. And therefore, he looked to find a way to destroy all of the Jews. Okay, so this is the Rebbe prefacing in order to answer the questions surrounding this story of meeting the children, we first have to understand what's the problem. And this is the problem as given to us in the Megillah. Hey, Aval, Echi Techein Shahaya Biyat Haman Lahavi Gzer Kazu al Bnei Yisrael. Okay, fine. So we understand that Mordechai had an epiphany, he had an awakening. He realized that he's dealing with a very, very big problem. And therefore, he seeks to eradicate all of the people that present this problem. But how did he have so much power over the Jews? And to put into motion such a global, all-encompassing gezeirah. Mevarim Chazal. So for this, the Gemara explains. The Gemara explains that the power that he got to destroy the Yidden, Cholila, was because of the spiritual act that they bowed to an idol. And there's a lot of different opinions as to does this mean that some of the Jews bowed to Haman? He is the Avodah Zarah, he's the Tzelem. Or that he wore a tzelem, and so on and so forth. There's different ways of understanding it, but it's clear from the Gemara that they made themselves vulnerable spiritually because they engaged in a sin of Avodah Zarah, at least on some level. Now, it's very clear from the sources that me'achashetu b'nei asu ella leponim lev klal. But because there was pa'ula utnua hayados, so because some of the Jews bowed, and in the parentheses, the Rebbe explains, even though they just did it for appearance sake, they were not committed. In their hearts, they were not committed at all. But because there was some action, there was some overture that runs contrary to the nekuda hayadus, to the pintle yid, to the nexus of what a Jew is, v'negaz be'etzem hakesha shelhem kadosh baruch hu. And so this touched, and this in some way corrupted or adulterated their connection with a kadosh baruch hu. Hevi hadavar b'derech memele l'gzeir kliya. This made them, as a consequence, vulnerable to a gezeira of complete destruction and annihilation. He is kashrusam. Because we have to understand that the whole existence and the whole ability to be here, the whole kiyum of Bnei Yisrael, is our connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when they touch that, and when they corrupted that, when they made it vulnerable, they became vulnerable to complete destruction through Haman's machination, Chalila. Vizu haisa da gasa shel Mordechai. Now we're in a position to understand Mordechai's great and profound worry. So much so. So much so that he donned sackcloth and ashes, and he cried a loud and bitter cry. Because the Megillah tells us that Mordechai knew everything that was happening with the Jews. And he knew that their engaging in this kind of behavior was the reason for the gezeira, and this is what he was worried about. Shema zeh shehishtachavu l'tzelem haya etzlam inyan shel avodah zarah chas v'shalom. He worried that that they bowed down to an idol was actually a manifestation or an outgrowth of some inyan of avodah zarah by them. Even if they bowed and prostrated just for parents' sake, only externally, He worried that the very fact that they could engage in this, even if it was just a show, that this itself showed that their pintaliyit, that their inner faith was not manifest by them. It didn't suffuse them. It didn't pervade them. It wasn't something that was filling them consciously. Why? Because if it would have been open and revealed by them, it would have caused, in the words of the Tanya, Shelo yuchlu yigu afilu bilvushav shehi machshava dibor maisa shelemunas Hashem echad, that nothing like this could ever touch and come adjacent to even their levushim, even their external manifestations of their soul, in their machshava, in their thought process, in their dibor, in their speech and umaisa, and in their actions. Nothing would have been able to happen like that when it comes to emuna in the one God. He im, because as the Tanya explains, what should happen when a Jew confronts such a situation? Limsar nafshoi afilu shaloi la'asayis rak eze mais levad neged emunas Hashem echad. That naturally, a Jew should be ready to give up his life rather than do even one action that is contrary to faith in one God. Baldrabe says, for instance, like to bow or prostrate to Avodah Zarah, even if and when the Jew doesn't believe in it in his heart at all. Because of the default desire and the will of a Jew to cleave onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he yira u'mifachedes b'tiva min goya b'ktzei tumas avodah zarah chas v'shalom, then the default nature of the soul is to be very afraid, naturally very afraid. It's almost like Alter Rebbe is describing the natural tendency for a person to remove their hands as soon as they feel something very, very hot. It's just like a protective mechanism. So the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that the soul naturally fears to touch even the edge of tuma of avodah zarah chas v'shalom, shehu neged emunas Hashem echad afilu bilvusha chitzonim sheim dibor maisa b'li emuna b'leiv klal. That the soul doesn't want to touch this, God forbid. This goes against the faith in one Hashem, and the neshama doesn't want to engage and be adjacent to this, even with the external aspects of the person. Forget about the mindset, the machshava, but even the more external, the speech and the actions, even when they don't reflect any true belief in the heart. So when Mordechai saw this, v'lachein yada Mordechai, so when he saw this, he knew shahaderech lebitul hagzera hi la'ayr etzel b'nei Yisrael es nekudas hayadu shetia begolui. He knew that the only way for this gzera, for this edict to be rescinded, is for him to arouse the pintala yid, for him to arouse the core of the Jew in such a way that it becomes revealed and manifest, that it floods their system. It's not latent. Shetchuna zu shel am Mordechai shelo yichra v'lo yishtachave hachdor b'chol levushi hanefesh, that this idea that they are the nation of Mordechai, they don't bow and they don't prostrate themselves, should completely permeate all of the levushim, the garments of their souls, machshava, dibor, umaisa, ad lemesiras nefesh al kiddush Hashem bepoel mamash, until they would be ready to have mesiras nefesh for this, to die for this, practically speaking. Because shama Mordechai mepia tinoikes shahayu boim mebeis ha sefer. So now the Rebbe circles back to the story and he explains that when Mordechai heard these particular psukim from the mouths of the young children when they were coming from school, and the Rebbe is going to explain the significance of this detail that they were coming from school. When he heard as psukim hamivatim es ha'emunah v'ha'bitocha b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, he heard these particular psukim that were curated to express the faith and the belief in Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yada shebnei Yisrael yamdu b'nisayon v'yiyu muchanim la'amid b'msiras nefesh. He knew that the Jews would be able to overcome this terrible nisayon, and they would be ready to stand with Mesiras Nefesh. But Azai, and as a result of this, then Sachak b'haya sameach simcha gedayla, he rejoiced greatly. He ein l'siyare klal min ha'etzah harash she'atzta aleinu, because as he said to Haman, he had no reason to fear from the terrible plan that that Haman had devised. Ubishamay psuras tevis elu, hinila akreze vayikra Mordechai is begada vayilbar sak vayifer vayetze b'tay chayir vayizak zaka gedolo mara v'chol medino medina goymer Abel gadol layehudim v'tzayim ubechi omispat. After he heard these good news in quotation marks, after that the Gemara tells us that he tore his garments, that he put on a sackcloth and he put ashes on himself. He went to the middle of the city. He screamed a loud and bitter cry. And in every geographic location, in every place where Jews lived, there was terrible mourning, and they engaged in fasting and crying and dirges. Kidei la'ayir la'havi b'gilui es nekudas hayados ves hanechainus lemsiros nefesh b'poyel mamash. And Mordechai put this all into effect in order to bring out from latent, hidden form into open and revealed, a manifest form, the nekudah hayados, the pintel yid, and their readiness to give their life on Mesiras Nefesh, practically speaking. Okay. Vav. Now, the Rebbe is going to give us the importance, because he hasn't yet, he noted it, but he hasn't yet given us the importance of the fact that they were coming from school. We're going to get there. But now the Rebbe is telling us the significance in the fact that there were three children and there are three psukim. What's the difference content-wise in these three psukim? It would seem that they're basically all saying the same thing, but of course, we are wise to the Rebbe's ways, and he's going to uncover for us that it's actually talking about three levels in emunah and bitachon. The first pasuk, which tells us, do not fear from a sudden terror and from the destruction of the wicked ones when it comes. This pasuk deals with fear and a manifest tragedy. Al tira leloi shum hasbara, and the answer to that from Torah is do not fear, with no explanation. In other words, you are transcendent people. The Eibishter has you, and there are going to be these things, but don't fear. You have to have emunah that what the Eibishter is doing is for you good. The pasuk utzu etzav v'sufar dabru dabar v'layakum, that they will devise a plan, a plot, but it will be upended, it will be foiled. Dabru dabar v'layakum, they will speak words, but it will not stand. Ein midubar oides tzara kayemes b'payel. This pasuk is not talking about an active Sara that people are dealing with. Ella Eides Eitza Vidavar. It's talking about a plot. It's talking about words. It's talking about something that's cooking, that's possibly on the horizon. Lahavit Sara, to bring a tragedy, a calamity. Bahamaina Lakach. Hey, Nairak Etzem Masha Hadabra Asid Lizbatel. So it's not just that the pasuk tells us that these plots will not come to fruition, that they're going to fall apart, they're going to crumble. Ella b'tosefes hasbara v'tam. But here the pasuk offers a reason. In the first pasuk, it just says, Al tira, do not be afraid. In this pasuk, it says, Ki imanu kel, because Hashem is with us. Ube pasuk hashlishi, vadzikna ani hu, vadzeiv ani esbol, ani asisi, ani esav, ani esbol, v'amale. Until your old age, I am unchanged, and until your elderly years, I will carry you. I made you, and I will carry you, and I will deliver you. In this pasuk, ein medubar klal al tzara. This pasuk is not even talking about problem, a tragedy, a calamity. Lo begili v'lo b'hachana. Neither in manifest way, and not even a tragedy that is brewing. Kim Ida Zikna, the Seva, Shehim Shinuyim Tivim Bivriya Shabara Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's talking about getting older, and these are natural changes that Hashem created and embedded in his creation. Balkach Aimra Pasuk Shaloi Zubavacha Ani Huvani Esbol Elagamania Sisi Vani Esa. So the Pasuk tells us not only that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I will carry you, but also I made you and I will deliver you. Ubetaychen in yanim beruchnias. Mayim gimel hapsukim al shloish tnuis madregas ba'efen and muna b'habitachin. So when you look at this on a deeper level, this is showing us the three psukim are showing us three different expressions and levels in faith and in trust, Bahakadosh Baruch Hu, Hamivim es Mesiras Nafshe Shel Yehudi Lemana Kadosh Baruch Hu. And these levels of faith and trust express the Mesiras Nefesh that a Jew is ready to have for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Al tira mipachat pisoim ha-mishoyes v'sham kisavoy. So mitzad ha-emuna v'habitachem v'kadosh baruch hu. From the perspective of the faith and the trust that a Jew has in Hashem, hine af she'al piteva noifel al adam moira miboyim shel pachat pisoim. So although naturally it's normal that a person should be gripped with terror and with fear in the face of a sudden shock or fear, ooh, shayas rishayim, and also worrying about the destruction of the wicked and how it might impact them. Hare etzel adam maimin yehudi ein kol meira. The ein huzak lahasbar v'tam alza. But the believing Jew is not afraid, and he doesn't seek validation for his lack of fear. In other words, he owns the fact that his lack of fear doesn't make any sense. But b'tivoy, but because he's Jewish, so in his DNA, it's natural. Hargashasai, this feeling, he alderach maimer azal, it's in line with what Chazal teach. That kol ma'ada avid rachamana l'tav avid, that everything that Hashem does is for the good. Now, this is not a logical attitude, but this is the attitude of a maimon, a believing Jew. Oifin chazak yoser b'emunahu. Now, a stronger level of emuna, or a higher level, or the second category. What does this pasuk teach us? Not only is the Jew not fearful, Ela shabari like, but it's clear to him, sha etza tufar bahadabar layakul, that whatever plot, whatever terrible thing seems to be on the horizon will not come to be. It will be upended. It will be completely overturned. And whatever things people are saying will not stand. And the logical explanation for all of this is Yidi asay bivados ki manukel, because he knows with firm knowledge that Hashem is with us. Olamaila mize, at third level, highest category, hi hahanocha ba'adzikna anihu ba'atseba ani ezbol hainu. This is the attitude, and this is the understanding. Shagam chukais hateva v'inyanav shakava kadosh baruch hu bebriya ein lahem shlita al yehudi ve'ein hu mispoil mehem. He knows, he's totally sure that even the laws of nature that Hashem himself created and embedded in creation, they have no sovereignty over a Jew, and therefore he doesn't cower before them, he doesn't let it overwhelm him. But for this kind of level, you need a little bit more explanation to bolster this level. It's not just that Hashem is with us. We have to understand, right? I made everything. Hashem says, Ani Asisi. I made these rules. I can overturn these rules. I will carry you. I will redeem you. I'll take care of you. I got your back. Zion. V'yesh leimar she'elohim gimel madrega zula maila mizu gam bechinuch tinoika shel beis rabban beveis ha'sefer. The Rebbe says we might say that these three levels or categories, one higher than the next, are necessary and should be employed in educating young children, the tinaika shel beis rab. Etzel hayeled harishayin, tinaik b'tchilas chinuchay, dealing with a very young child, taking the first child, just starting a chinuch. Hadavar hu ba'efen shel psekecha. He's just beginning. So all Mardechai says to him is, tell me a pasuk that you know. Yoseh mizeh terem lamad. He has learned nothing more. He's not old enough to understand deep philosophical ideas, philosophy, hashkafa. Mardechai says to him, tell me, what pasuk do you know? Aval afilu koydem shenasa shayek lahavim besichloi, tzricha liyos chakuka boi hayedia boifen muchlot ufasuk asher altira mipachat pisam and mishayis vishoyim kisavai. The Rebbe says, but even before it's even possible for this child to understand things on the cognitive level, it has to be engraved in his knowledge in a definitive way that there is nothing to fear. And I think that in the chinuch of Hasidim, we find that stories have embedded this hanacha, this attitude of emuna and bitachain, and that the Eibishter will help, etc., etc. Before a child can, you know, talk philosophy or anything like that, they can hear and they can deeply take in that kind of story and the lessons. And the Rebbe says it has to be chakuka boy. It has to be engraved in the child. Then the Rebbe says, "Kishahatina gadal moisif oid b'limudei." When the child gets a little older, and their learning is a little bit deeper or more sophisticated, and we see this because the second child says, "Ani karisi hayayim ubazeh hapasuk amarati." Right? The Medrash includes this detail that the second child doesn't just say a pasuk. He says, I was in school today, I learned pasukim, but this is the pasuk that we ended with. Hainu, shekara, lamad kfar ba'atzmai. He's able to learn on his own. Ani karisi hayoim, the Medrash says. V'shayachu kfar lahavim ba'atzmai. And he's able to understand on his own. So he can be taught yet a deeper hanacha, a deeper attitude towards life. This is a higher level of faith and hope and trust. And with certainty, with certitude, he's taught. He can be taught that no matter what kind of plans and machinations our enemies have, it will be destroyed, it will be disturbed, it will not come to fruition. Why? Ki manukim. Vahasug hashlishi. And the third category, Shabitinaikais, a gadol eid yaser, and the older child, the even older child, besichlei ubedatei melamdim eisei v'noitim boi gam es hanacha, sheyehudi eina mispoil afilo mehagbolas hateva v'chukav shebar kadosh baruch hu. So this is a child that's older. So you could explain to him cognitively, and you deeply imbue it and embed and plant it in him that a Jew should never back down in the face of natural parameters and borders and the laws of nature that Hashem himself created. And you explain this to them along with the explanation that the pasuk itself provides, which is, I created these laws, I can upend them. You don't have to worry. I will carry you. I will deliver you. Si'if ches. Akasher shama Mordechai es hapsukim v'pia tinoikes be'esha hayu bo'im mi'beis ha'sefer. Now in this si'if, the Rebbe unpacks the significance of the Medrash telling us that Mordechai met them when they were coming from school. Hainu. Shechinucham haya ba'ifin kazeh, shalai rak b'yoysim b'tayich b'ez ha-sefer ma'erim b'hem u'malamdim isam emuno m'sirs nefesh al-tira goymer ba'ifin shadavar yechadu b'hem gam b'seichel b'regesh. The importance of this is teaching us that their chinuch was imparted to them in such a way that it wasn't only that when they were in school, they were aroused and they were taught emuna and mesiras nefesh and not to fear in a way that completely pervaded them cognitively and emotionally. Ela heim af noisim kol zois imahem b'yoisim ba'im mi'beis ha-sefer b'voyim levateim. But they're carrying this. This is part and parcel of them. And therefore, even when they're out of school, the bell has rung already. There are no more rules and there are no more monitors. But they're carrying all of this. It's become part of them when they're coming from school on their coming home. Azai sochak v'haya sameach simcha gedayla. When he saw the great emunah and bitachon that was so deeply embedded in these children, that it wasn't something affected. It wasn't an overlay that they had to conform with or to while in school, but rather they're on their way home. They're coming home and they're carrying these lessons. He became overjoyed. Because when he saw it by the children, he recognized that the Nekuda Hayadus, the Pintel Yid, the core, was complete by all of Bnei Yisrael. Umemela, afilu elam, she'adayin ein zeh begolu etzlam. So therefore, even those among the adults that the Nekuda Yados wasn't completely manifest. Hare hatinoikos halalu ya vigalu zois etzlam bevayim beis hasefer lebeisam. But he was sure, Mordechai was sure, that these children will arouse and make open and manifest and revealed amongst the adults when they come from school with this information and with these lessons and they come home. Therefore, Mordechai was overjoyed. V'zehu gam diuk l'shoyne shel Mordechai shesimchos lo hi min habisturas toivois shebisrunik. And now the Rebbe says we can circle back. Remember the Rebbe said, why didn't he say, I am overjoyed at the Nevuah? Why did he say, I am rejoicing over the good news? Shaloi efchod min ha'etzahara she'ya'atzta aleinu. Mordechai says, I'm overjoyed and I got good news that I don't have to fear from the terrible plans and edicts that you have all planned for us. Hadiburim atzmam shel hatinoikos heim heim habsuras tovah. The very psukim and the words that these young children said to me, that they imparted to me, these are the good psuras, these are the happy tidings that I got. Sheshleima hi ushleima tehei b'bnei Yisrael nekudas hayados v'hamasiras nefesh hamivatelas es gzeres haman shaloi efchod. It's not the Torah Nevuah. It's simply the good news I got that the Jews are spiritually healthy, that their Nekuda Hayados is complete and consummate, not just by the children, but also by the adults. And therefore, I can expect that there will be Mesiras Nefesh, and this will completely obliterate the terrible Eitzah. And therefore, I'm not afraid. Vizehu gam shemiyat kas haman harasha. And therefore, now we understand what the Medrash says, that immediately Haman harasha became filled with wrath. Well, Omar, and he said, Ein ani shaleach yadi tchila, ela be'elu hatinoikos. I'm not going to, my first plan of action is to destroy the children, is to hit at the source of their strength, which is the children. Because Haman saw in these children the continuation of the Jewish people. And he saw in these children the reason why Mordechai and the other Jews wouldn't bow before him or before any Avodah Zarah. This sicha is so beautiful on so many levels, but when you read this, you understand the Rebbe's tremendous, tremendous emphasis on young children. You understand the Rebbe coming out to rallies and how much emphasis he put on camps and release time and Talmud Torah and all of this. Tests. Al pi hanal, ba toisefes hasbara b'maimer azal hayadua, al kimu v'kiblu hayehudim. So based on everything we've said so far, we're now in a position to understand this very famous teaching that kimu v'kiblu hayehudim, that they observed and they took upon themselves. And what's the understand? What's the explanation we're given? Kimu masha kiblu kfar. They now observed and accepted upon themselves what they had already taken upon themselves. What's the pshat? Shebapurim nizbatla hamoida rabba loyraisa. That Purim obviated the great complaint to the Torah. Ki hadar kabluhu b'me Achashverosh, because they again accepted the Torah in the time of Achashverosh. What does this mean? From the board of Chassidus, al apostle v'kibel hayehudim as asher echilu la'asais. Chassidus explains, the pasuk of the Megillah that the Jews took upon themselves what they had already begun to do. Shebematan Torah peisarak haschalu, that Matan Torah was just the beginning. beginning. Hechelu la'asos. They just had begun then. Ki az mesiras nafshim shel Yisrael al kabbalas haTorah b'kach shekdimu nasal nishma ba mitzad lemaila kafaleim har kegigas. Because by matan Torah, it was just the beginning. The mesiras nefesh that they displayed, that they said nase before nishma. They said we'll do before we even understand. This came mitzad lemaila. This was an overture from above, like we're taught that the mountain was held over them, whether we understand this literally or figuratively, like this enormous barrel. In other words, they did it out of fear, or they did it in response to Isarusa de la Ela, to an overture that was coming from above. V'ilu b'mei haporim niskayim v'kibel hayehudim. But so that was Hechilulasis. That was the beginning. But on Purim, they actually accepted upon themselves Kabbalah Gemura, a complete acceptance. Al Yidei Mesiras Nafshom Shel Kol Yisrael Me'atzma, because all of the Jews were ready to go on Mesiras Nefesh. V'lachein Hayaaz Mar Ushleimus Kabbalas HaTorah. And so that was actually the end of the complete acceptance of the Torah. So they had accepted the Torah, yes, but it was the beginning, and it was kind of out. There was this Meidah Rabbah. There was something outstanding that still had to be put into place vis-a-vis the Jews' relationship with the Torah. And I wanted to just look very quickly at footnote 43 that goes back to where the Rebbe says that Mordechai was elated on the Psuras Teves Shebisruni Sheshleimahi Ushleima Tehe, that there was a completion in terms of the faith and the betachin that the Jews had in Hashem. And if you look at footnote 43, Val Pizim Muvan Haloshin Besurais Toivish and Besurni, Lashon Rabin. Now we're in a position to understand, even further parse the text of the Midrash, that it wasn't Besura Lashon Yachid, it wasn't a single good tiding. He got but good tidings in the plural. De'im HaKavana Rak Lazesh Besur Shalei Efchad Mina Eitzara Harezu Besura Achas. But the only thing that Mordechai would have learned from the children is that he shouldn't fear what Haman has in mind. That would have been one good tiding. But it says Besurais, Lashon Rabim, in the plural, because every pasuk that the children cheered added another level of depth and strength to the Bitachon and the emuna that Bnei Yisrael had. Now going back to the paragraph that begins Shekishem Shebizman Shechelu Lasis B'Matan Torah, and just like when they had begun to accept the Torah during Matan Torah, Hine Dafka Bischus Arvusam Shel Hayiladim Banenu Arvim Esanu Nasan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Zatara LeYisrael. So just like by Matan Torah, the Torah was given in the schus of the children. The children were the guarantors. Al derech zeh haya be'ez v'kibel hayehudim b'me'ach HaShverosh. It was similar in the time when the Jews accepted finally the completion of the Torah in the time of Achashverosh, shehakabbalah hagmura nif'ala mitzad ha'arba shel hayeladim. That this complete acceptance was effectuated through the guarantee of the children, and not just children in general, but the tiny tots, the tinoikah shel beis rabban hanal, or bechlalos al yidei kol chof beis elef hatinoikahs shehikil Mordechai, and generally through the 22,000 young children that Mordechai gathered. I asked my husband, like, how does he think? How can he explain this to me? Because I don't understand. Before, I don't know, social media and than all the ways we have today to gather 22,000 children. That's a pretty august gathering. V'lamad imahen, and Mordechai learned with them. V'nata b'hem mesiras nefesh b'goli u'v'payel, and he implanted in them mesiras nefesh in a open, a manifest way, in a practical way. Kifisha sipru Chazal barucha, as Chazal explained to us at a great length. And again, I just read this paragraph, wrote this paragraph, and just went back to those scenes of the Rebbe standing and saying sichas for children. And that's not Mordechai gathering children, you know. Ukashem Shatechan Achidush Vahamila Shabapuram Lagabi Matantera, who canal Shabamatantera, he's the Messiah's Nafshim Shal Israel, Beikar Bikoyach. And just like what was the chidush, what was the novelty, and what was the greater Maila and Purim juxtaposed against Matan Torah? That the Matan Torah, the Mesiras Nefesh, was Bekayach. It was in potential. Mitzad Nishmasam and Mitzad Lamaila. It was there because Bnei Yisrael have a neshama, and because the Ebeshter Milmaila was manifesting to them such Giluyim. But on Purim, it wasn't just a kayach, it wasn't just potential, but in actuality, they were ready to give their lives up. And this was practical, and this was real and visceral on the body level, and it came from them. It was a sarosa delatata. And the same can be said about this idea that it was the children who were the guarantors. On Purim, it wasn't from top down. It wasn't that the parents told the children, this is what you have to do. But this was something that arose from the children themselves. Not only did this arise from the grassroots level, from the children upwards, but they were the ones that actually they caused their parents to act in similar manner. And so it was Dafka, when it happens in this fashion, uninitiated from above. But not only does it come from below, but it comes from the children. That is a complete Kabbalah Sater. Seif Yud. And from this, we have a lesson for all generations, and especially for this generation, we hear the footsteps of Mashiach. When we are still the servants of Achashverosh, somebody that wants to know the true situation and the future for Am Yisrael, if you want to take the temperature of or you want to assess the health of Am Yisrael in the future, Yabit v'yira es matzavam shel hatinokos. There's only one metric you should look, and you should see what's going on with the children. Gam ubeikar b'hiyosim ba'im b'chazarasa mibeis ha-sefer. And especially you should look not at what's happening in school, not at when they have to wear their uniforms and they have to conform to rules and they have to do this and they have to do that, but look and see when they're coming home from school what they're acting like. And the intention, the Rebbe says, very clearly is as follows. Chinuch has to be in such a way that from the very dawn of their childhood, when they are not yet able to understand things cognitively, bahem es ha'anocha she'ein lahem echad, you engrave in these children the attitude and the understanding that there is no one and nothing to fear in the world, ki im HaKadosh Baruch Hu levadai, save for Hashem himself. And just like the father, the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Eliezer, instructed his child, the Baal Shem Tov, when he was 5 years old, Al tira me'af echad mishum dover ba'olam ki imi Hashem levadai. Do not fear anything in the world. Don't be afraid of anything except for Hashem. And then when they grow and they are able to understand things, then comes the second layer, comes an additional layer. Then they're able to understand that what the nations have planned against us will be upended, it will be foiled, it will be destroyed by Hashem, because Hashem is with us. And then after that, when they get older yet, they're able to understand that a Yid is not under the Shlita, is not under the sovereignty, is not subservient to Chukei HaTeva, to the laws of nature. Like getting older, for instance. Move on. And it's understood that in order for these ideas to be engraved in them properly, and they should be the psukim, the Torah psukecha. It should be so natural to these children. It's their truth. They own it. When somebody says, "What's your truth?" Psukecha, cite me your pasuk. They'll be able to spit this out. In order to get this level, it's not enough to just learn the Torah shebichtav. It's necessary for these ideas to be conveyed through the psukim as they are explained and elucidated in the Teres HaBaal Peh generally and specifically in Teres HaChassidus. Because she'er yalde Yisrael yisu imayim es teichen ha-psukim gam betesa michutz l'kos le'beis ha-sefer. And when Jewish children will carry with them the content of these psukim, also when they leave the walls of the Beis Sefer, yichyu im teichen zeh, they'll live with this content, v'yivu'uhu el teich bateim, and they will bring it into their home. Hine kimoi b'yamim ahein, kein yiyeh b'zman hazeh. So just as it was then, so it will be in our time. Shadavar yaftiach es kiyum v'hemshach ha-Torah b'Yisrael. This will ensure the succession and the continuation of Torah amongst the Jews. There will be no place for fear, for terror, to be afraid of anything in the world. It's from the mouths of the babes and the sucklings that you have established strength to destroy the enemy and the avenger. And the promise will come to fruition, that the hearts of the parents will be returned through the children, al yedei banim, kasher hineya nechi. This will happen when, in the words of Malachi, I will send to you, Eliyahu Hanavi, yoimar lebanim derech ava v'ratzayin. He will say to the children, in a loving way, go and speak to your parents and impress upon them to grasp onto the ways of Hashem, the Yavo Yom Hashem Hagadol Bahanaira, and the day of Hashem, the great and the awesome day, will come. It will be Mismach Geula LeGeula. One redemption will be adjacent to the ultimate redemption. Yom meaning Purim will usher in the Geula. Yom HaGeula HaMitis VaHashlema Al Yedei Mashiach Tzidkenu Bekarav Mamash. It will be the Geula HaMitis VaHashlemi, the true and the complete Geula through Mashiach Tzidkenu, and should be Bekarav Mamash now, immediately, at this moment. So again, we're asking the Eibishter to take, bring, to be Mismach Geula LeGeula. It should be an end ready to all the tzaras. And we're asking for Shlema, for Miriam Liba Baschana, and for Harab Yaakov Tuvia ben Chava Gittel, and wishing a great big Mazel Tov to Elisheva Mishulavin, to Eliza Krivitsky, and to Rachi Shemtov. Wishing everybody a very, very Freilich Purim. And you should also ask that it should be easy. Everything that we have to do should come easy. Bezos Hashem, there should be no Menias V'Kuvim. We should just be able to do what the Eibishter wants from us, what the Rebbe wants from us. I'm going to hop off, but please don't hop off. Tzipa, thank you as always. She will shut the recording and then people can forbring. Wishing everybody kol tov.
Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful.
I just wanted to, if I can